obvious that there are folks who are interested in reducing and in some cases eliminating the renewable fuel standard and the work that's being done to advance this industry. And I think it's important and necessary for the industry and for those of us who advocate and support it to continue to remind policymakers of the importance of it. This is an industry that provides consumer choice. It's an industry that obviously creates jobs. It's an industry that creates income opportunities for farmers that didn't exist before. And it's, frankly, an industry that's helping, along with a lot of other aspects of our energy policy, to reduce our reliance on foreign oil. So it's there are a lot of benefits to it.
Do you have any numbers on how much the departments have committed so far to farm supply? And do you have any sort of any idea of what the funding commitment will be going forward?
Well, I can tell you, for example, the two grants that I referred to, the Washington State University and Washington University, were $80 million cumulatively in those two, just in those two grants alone. You know, it's hard to put a dollar amount because we've basically taken our existing research efforts and prioritizing them and allocating them, directing them. But we're obviously putting a substantial amount of money in the BCAP program. Several hundred million dollars has gone into that program. The loan guarantees that helped to build the biorefineries I mentioned are nearly $750 million. So this is a major effort on our part.
There are concerns that have been raised about the renewable fuel standard. As you said, there are some opponents about possible impacts on gas prices because RIN prices are up. Also, the need for E15, but auto manufacturers and others say that they are not supportive of E15. I guess, can you talk a bit about how the administration answers those type of concerns about the RFS?
Well, first of all, in terms of consumers, there are several studies that show that consumers are paying less for their gas because we have a robust renewable fuel industry in this country. Some studies put it at 25 cents a gallon, some put it as high as over a dollar a gallon savings for consumers. So there's clearly an impact in terms of cost. You know, to the extent you expand the supply, you're obviously going to help moderate price. You know, the issue with RINs is complicated, and I don't know that's necessarily a result of the biofuel industry. I think the EPA is taking a look at that, and I know that Congress is going to take a look at precisely what is behind that effort. There are a lot of theories behind it, but I don't know that anybody knows for sure. But I will say this. I am positive that consumers benefit from this. I am positive that hundreds of thousands of jobs are connected to this industry, and I am positive that it has helped stabilize farm income. To the extent that we're now looking at record farm incomes, and it's also helping with the cattle industry. It's also helping with exports. I mean, so there's a whole series of benefits to this. As far as E15 is concerned, you know, the Department of Energy and EPA went through extensive testing. They determined that 2001 models and later models that E15 was fine, and I would think that those tests will withstand the test of time.
Secretary Vilsack, John Davis with Domestic Fuel. You mentioned about the E15. However, most of the automobile manufacturers don't approve E15 for their vehicles. How do we overcome something like that? And maybe, Secretary LaHood, maybe you can answer that as well.
Well, I'm not sure that it's necessarily accurate to say most of the automobile manufacturers are not in favor of E15. I'm not sure that that's accurate.
But the vehicles currently on the road now, well, they say they can't use it.
Well, the testing would suggest that later models, 2001 beyond, that there's not going to be damage to the engines. I think the challenge for us is creating the infrastructure, and we're working with the EPA to make sure that we get the right labels and the right dispensing systems. And I think if consumers were given the option, consumers would choose because they want to be supportive of a domestic fuel industry. They understand the importance of it in terms of rural areas, and they understand the significance of reducing our reliance on foreign oil. So the key for us is focusing on trying to create the infrastructure that will support this industry, the supply chain infrastructure.
It's good enough by me.
You know, and I'd say the aviation piece of this is also significant because, as Ray indicated, you know, airlines are based with a number of regulations internationally from a greenhouse gas emission standpoint, and this biofuel will help them meet those standards. So it's not only a creation of a new industry, but also one that will benefit the environment. And as far as renewable fuel is concerned, I think that even the petroleum industry has to recognize that there are octane benefits from biofuels, which they will have a hard time replicating. And which could potentially drive up the cost if we move away from biofuels. So I think, again, there's a tremendous opportunity here for us to create new industries in this country, to create something that hadn't been manufactured before, which is the nature of how you build a middle class, which the president is so insistent on. It is how you create a country that makes, creates, and innovates and exports.
One more question.
Secretary LaHood, on the Boeing Dreamliner, do you have any timeline for when you think the FAA might approve those batteries? And are you feeling any?
It's more than approving batteries. It's approving a plan to make sure the planes are safe. And we're not going to short circuit it. We're going to take our time. And when we're finished reviewing their plan, we will announce it to the world.
But you don't have any set timeline
soon.
Yet?
This agreement was not an extension of that MOU. It was basically working. It says it's not legally binding. I was just wondering why you made that decision extending it.
MOUs are essentially always, that language is always there. It's boilerplate language, and MOUs that involve agencies. But it's binding as far as we're concerned in the sense that we're committed to working together and collaboratively. We know that the key here is identifying a feedstock and then figuring out how you take that feedstock and ultimately get it through a production process and get it to market. It's about a supply chain. And what we want is a supply chain that isn't regionalized, that isn't just focused on one part of the country, but identifies feedstocks in every part of the country where it is efficient to produce. So in the southeast, it may be sugar. In the northwest, it may be woody biomass.
Is the funding going to come from a particular place for the work?
Well, USDA's continued to commit to the research resources. You know, these six regional centers that I referred to before, that's part of our research operation. We have a thing called the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, which dedicates several hundred million dollars in competitive grants each and every year. Those grants are targeted, and one of the target areas is this notion of biofuels and supply chains. So we're going to continue to invest. The effort that we have with the Navy and the Department of Energy also involves utilization of USDA funds to help create the biofuel for the use in the Navy's jets and ships. So there's a robust commitment here from this administration.
So, Secretary, have you talked to any airlines specifically that are interested?
Well, we had a meeting last year in Chicago with United, Honeywell, and one other company. I've been to a GE. I've been also been to GE, where they make the engines. People are very interested in this for the reason that Secretary LaHood mentioned. They're going to be faced with a series of regulations concerning emissions. They're not going to get there with the traditional fuel. We've got to figure out something different, and this is the something different.